The September 26th meeting of the Lawrence Douglas County Planning Commission. And before we get started, we have some minutes to approve for our action summary from the August 22nd meeting. Has anyone had a chance to read through those? And I would accept the motion.
So moved.
All right, do we have a second?
Seconded.
All right. All in favor of accepting the minutes? And I'm guessing one abstention, and that is 801. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, that's right. Do we have any committees that met over the last month that we need to hear from?
MPO.
MPO.
We did. The MPO met, policy board met last week. We approved a slight change in the work plan.
Unified work plan.
And I think that was it. That was the only action item on our agenda.
Mm-hmm. All right. Do we have any written communications from the public that were not in our packets? Do we have any written communications from staff, other planning commissioners, or any other commissioners?
No.
All right. Do we have any written action of waiver requests or determinations by the city engineer?
No, we do not.
Okay. I'm anticipating your answers now. And do we have any ex parte communications that we need to disclose? So for members of the public, we ask our body to just, if they've met with anyone over any of the items on our list, that they just tell us what that information is so that we all have the same information as we move forward. Do we have any? All right. Any declarations of abstentions from specific agenda items? Okay, moving along. At this point, we have a time for general public comment. If you came to speak on an item, we'll get to that. But if you have just something you'd like to tell us, we allow 3 minutes for any member of the public who would like to share something or ask questions. And seeing none, we'll move on to our regular agenda. So how we operate, I think many of you have been here before and some of you have not, is that we hear from staff on each item, and then we hear from the applicant and to give a presentation. And then we open it up for public comment. And during that time, each member of the public can give us 3 minutes or 3 minutes of comment. And then when that is done, we bring the applicant back up if they have anything to say regarding that public comment. And then we close the public session and it comes up to the commission. At that point, we may answer questions that you asked us before. We may also ask you questions and bring you back up, either staff, the applicant, or even members of the public. So that's the general operation. And having that, we will move on to our item one. We have a rezoning on Mississippi Street.
Good evening, Commissioners. My name is Becky Pepper with the Planning Department. The subject property consists of two platted lots that have separate zonings. The lot to the north consists of RS5 zoning, and the lot to the south is zoned commercial strip. And the intent of this rezoning request is to provide the parcel with the uniform zoning district of RS5. The property is currently developed with a detached dwelling to the north, and the south lot is vacant. This is the first step in to prepare that south lot for the potential for residential infill development. The property is located in the Old West Lawrence neighborhood, which is this green shaded area here on this map. The property is located on the north side of 9th Street and on the west side of Mississippi. The zoning in the area consists of commercial strip along the 9th Street corridor and RS5 zoning to the east, west, and north of the subject property, which is outlined blue here. As such, the land use in the area consists of commercial land uses along 9th Street and residential uses to the north of that. The primary residential use in the area is single-family residences, which is indicated by this the yellow color on this slide. But there are also some duplex and multifamily residential uses in the area. Specifically, the property immediately south of the subject property contains a multifamily residence. The rezoning request does conform with the comprehensive plan. The future land use map of Horizon 2020, which is shown here, shows commercial uses along 9th Street, as indicated by this red color, and low-density residential uses in the area of the subject property. The property is also suited for the RS5 zoning district. As previously mentioned, it currently contains a detached dwelling. It also is surrounded by single-family residences to the east, north, and west. It's also suited for the density and dimensional standards of the RS5 zoning district. Aside from this rezoning request, a second step in preparing the property for development will include adjusting the interior lot line through a minor subdivision process. The interior lot line is outlined in red here, and you can see that the existing house currently encumbers the southern lot because it was built over that interior lot line. So in order to make that south lot eligible for a building permit, that interior lot line would need to be adjusted to the south so that the existing house is contained fully on one lot. The minimum lot width of the commercial strip zoning district is 50 feet, and the two existing platted lots are each 50 feet wide. So moving that interior lot line to the south will create a southern lot that no longer complies with the lot width of the commercial strip zoning district because it'll be less than 50 feet wide. On the other hand, the minimum lot width requirement of the RS5 zoning district is 40 feet. So it would be possible to adjust that interior lot line to the south to create an unencumbered southern lot that's eligible for a building permit that would meet that interior lot width requirement of 40 feet. The staff recommends forwarding the rezoning application to the City Commission with a recommendation of approval based on the findings listed in the staff report. With that, I'll stand for any questions.
Thank you. And is the applicant here? Would you like to speak, or are you happy with Becky's presentation?
My name is Benita Yoder. I'm available if you have any questions. I would have actually preferred to upzone the house to residential office and downzone the lot to that, but I didn't know how that would work in Old West Lawrence. And I know there's always people looking for infill lots to build on in the Centura neighborhoods. So thank you.
Thank you. Are there any members of the public who'd like to speak on this item? Okay, seeing none, we'll close the public comment section and bring it up to the commission for discussion.
I have a question, Becky. Can you go back to the picture that you had of the lot line? I'm just curious. So it looks like there's 4 feet that's over the lot to the south, the current lot line. Mm-hmm. Will you, in order to make it a 40-foot lot, the distance between the two houses will be 6 feet. Is my calculation correct?
There is also a standard in the zoning code that allows for the interior side setback is 5 feet. Okay. You can have less on one side if you exceed that 5 feet on the other side.
Great. Thank you.
And also, bay windows can be included in the setback, which this has been established as a bay window.
Good to know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have another question for staff.
Commissioner Sands.
Is this going to require then a change to the property line after we rezone it? Is that going to be an administrative change, or is that going to be something that comes back to us?
If this were rezoned to RS5 zoning, it would be an administrative change.
Okay.
Its current zoning district of CS, it would require they would come back to you with a variance request on that lot width.
Thank you.
Any also entertain motions. No one has questions?
I'd like to make a motion to recommend approval of the request to rezone approximately 0.150 acres from commercial district to RS5 single dwelling residential district based on the findings of fact presented in the staff report and forward that to the City Commission with a recommendation for approval.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
Commissioner Payton. So we have a motion and a second. Do we have any other discussion on this item? I would say it's a good fit. It solves a problem that we had. It fits in the neighborhood. So I'm going to vote in favor of it. Are you ready for a vote? All in favor? And opposed? All right, we have 9-0. Second item, a special use permit for Lawrence Memorial Hospital.
Brought a lot of homework.
That's all for us.
Good evening, Sandy Day. The special use permit that you have before you this evening is also essentially a master plan for the hospital. We considered a similar project about a year ago, and there is a small change being made to the project given the short duration of the time since we last looked at that institutional development plan. We thought it was appropriate to bring it back to you this evening. The property includes the hospital, and the hospital does require that institutional development plan. The hospital itself is zoned H. There are a couple of parcels that are located along Main Street that are also part of the hospital operations and are included in that master plan. So what this special use permit does is updates the project with the recent improvements, so the parking lot that we looked at about a year ago, and then also some changes in the plan that removed some of the on-street parking we discussed a little bit in the staff report, and then the specific change, which is the building addition on the north east corner of the hospital building, the primary building. That surrounding zoning on Main Street includes a couple of different zoning districts, GPI, RSO, and then on the south and the west and the north, we have predominantly residential, a mix of different types of residential zoning. The area on the east side of Main Street includes a lot of related medical office uses to the hospital. So the proposed change is located on the northeast corner of the building, and it affects really only the surgical suite of the project. We are not adding any beds, we're not adding any activity areas other than the operations that are associated with the surgical unit, and the applicant is here to speak to you about that. The other change that occurs with this project is the loss of 19 parking spaces that are currently located along east side of the building, and then it also changes a little bit of the parking circulation or the vehicular circulation in that area. There we go. We included, this is a slide from the last project. There are a number of uses that are associated with the hospital that include community activities as well as normal hospital operations. And that went into the factors for developing the off-street parking requirements for this project. Technically, the hospital still has enough parking to meet its demand per code, although there certainly is that ongoing question about appropriate parking or enough parking for this use, as well as some other uses that are developing or will be developed in the neighborhood in the near future. We revised the parking summary in the staff report. One of the changes, as I mentioned earlier, was the plan that we saw in 2017 included some on-street parking, that parallel parking that would require public improvement plans. This plan that you're seeing tonight does not include that, so that also had a change impact on the off-street parking. physical spaces that we're losing are just those few that are next to that part of the building only. And this is, again, kind of that area where that parking is being affected. This is the new lot that was just constructed this past year. This highlights the change that's being made to that part of the parking area where you have two-way traffic today in this part of the site. The building will be, the building addition will be expanded over to that existing pavement, and then this part of the parking lot will become one direction. So you would come in this area and exit out of this drive. The other parking that is located on Main Street does not change with this project. A summary of the findings really is that the proposed changes are still compliant with those original factors. Nothing has changed in the code since the past year that we have looked at this. And there's really no reason to require a time limit associated with this special use permit. Once this project is fully approved, it will get recorded with the Register of Deeds office and becomes the enforcement tool associated with this particular activity. Staff's recommendation is for approval. There is one condition associated with additional documentation the city stormwater engineer has requested, and that's really to kind of summarize everything that's been going on with this stormwater for this particular project. So, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. And we do have an applicant here.
You do.
C.L. Maurer with Land Plan Engineering, and also Bob Ogley, the architect. So if there's any interior or architectural things, he'll answer those questions. We're here to basically agree with staff. We have no problems with that. I'm here to answer any questions that you have.
Thank you. We may.
Okay.
And do we have any members of the public who'd like to speak on this item?
Some of my questions were answered. I'm wondering what Lady says. There is not adequate parking. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, they like 55 to 75 parking places for their people. And if you take another 19, you're talking almost 90 spaces on, especially on Wednesdays. And we're already packed. I live on 215 Arkansas. There was 30 cars parked on our street in that one block today, plus one going down 3rd Street, Missouri, and on Main. There was 74 vehicles. It was not on the street parking. It really puts us to bind. Thank you.
Sir, may I have your name?
I'm Ernest Richardson.
Okay. And there should be a sheet there to sign in, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Thank you. And if we have questions for you later, we may ask.
Okay.
Are there any other members of the public like to speak on this item? Okay. Seeing none, we give a chance to the applicant to speak to any of the public comment. If you'd like to, you don't have to. And at that point, we'll close out the public hearing and bring it up to the commission for discussion.
I have a question for Mr. Richardson. Yes. If you could step up to the mic here so we can broadcast you all over Lawrence, Kansas.
Okay.
So you mentioned on certain days, did you say something about certain days there was limited parking? I was trying to, maybe I just didn't understand.
Right. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Tuesday and Wednesday, because of the imaging machine, that takes, I think, 18 parking places.
Okay.
And Monday, it's not bad. Friday, they have excess parking spots in their parking lots.
Have excess parking spots?
Yes, on Friday.
But on
Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, they...
The imaging machine is there taking
well,
up...
on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Tuesday and Wednesday, there's
yeah,
an imaging machine.
I think
machine.
The hospital does most of their operations on Tuesday, or Monday through Thursday, I don't think they operate on Friday unless they have to.
Okay.
I think that's the reason for the lower staff.
Got it. Thank you.
I have more detail about Mr. Richardson's issue.
Please give us more detail on Mr. Richardson's issue.
Part of this addition will be the imaging machine that he was talking about that used to sit on the east side. Will that get transferred, or on the west side, will be transferred to the east side next to the surgery room itself, and so it won't be taking up any more parking spots. I mean, it's right there on the south of this spot, so. That was the plan all along, trying to figure out where to put that. Because, yes, you're right. It takes a bunch of them over the west side, which affects you because you live over there. So,
can we pull up an image and you can show us where that is going to sit? Sandy will help. So it currently sits in a and takes up parking spaces and now won't be?
You might explain the existing condition and then what you're proposing with this site plan.
Just a moment here.
When he was referring to the image machine, it usually sits over here on the west side on this where you're showing up. It's usually on, back in this area. We don't have it quite blown up enough, but that's where it sits. The new plan is this area right in here is where that'll sit during those days. And then it'll be open the rest of the time. This will just be concrete paving out there. That also gets it closer for the patients to come out of the surgery area and then into this. And they'll be outside for a little bit. May not be. It all depends on cost. There might be a canopy or something like that to keep those people from walking outside when they go in there for that. But that's where that'll go, and they won't be taking any more parking spaces.
And currently, how many parking spaces are taken up when the machine is there?
He's probably right, 18 to 20.
Is it?
Yeah, okay. It's a bunch. Because it parallel parks along all those ones that you pull into.
Mm-hmm.
And then besides that, they also shut off that drive, too, for fire protection and stuff. So, yeah, it takes a chunk. And the hospital's aware of that. They've been trying to figure out what to do with that for years. So this was a good opportunity to say, hey, this will work.
So if we're summarizing here, so we're losing 19 parking spaces with the new plan, but we are making an arrangement that the 18 spaces that were being taken up are now made available. So it's kind of a wash for that.
Yeah.
But what about there are some on-street parking that was in the plan we saw last time that is not in this plan? How many parking spaces? And I'm looking at either staff or the applicant, which...
It was like 50...
Is it 51? Is that I heard?
50-something.
In the 40-50 range of spaces. The proposed plan had angled parking on street, and it was shown conceptually, essentially, on that plan. There still would be required public improvement plans, so that number could have shifted a little bit of what that would have looked like. The intent of that previous plan was to show it conceptually. The hospital was not prepared to construct that additional parking in the immediate future.
Is it still in the works, or is it off the table completely now?
It could still come forward. We tried to outline that in the staff report, that while it's not necessarily shown on this plan, it is something that could be requested in the future. It would have to be coordinated with city services. It would require those public improvement plans that would have a lot of detailed engineering review as well. So, and then believe the public works process would also, because of that on-street parking, would have specific notice to the neighborhood.
Okay. Thank you. I was going to follow up with Mr. Richardson again. So with knowing that then the imaging machine is not taking up those spaces, kind of more content that there's no net change for what they're offering right now. It doesn't improve any of the parking issues, but perhaps this new recommend or new building addition doesn't hamper anything additionally.
That's something we just have to wait and see. Uh-huh. But I'm not sure how it will change. My other question was...
If you'd step up to the mic, sir, sorry.
Construction. Where will the construction people and their equipment park while they're building this area?
Well, we can ask that question to the architect who's here. Passing.
Bob Bosley with ACI Bullet Architects. Mm-hmm. So we always require the contractors to park off-site, on the street, or down further down in the neighborhood, and not not on the campus property.
That's the problem.
On the in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
We'll look at that. Try to minimize that impact.
It would be nice if they could take over the facilities the school district demands.
Do we have any other comments or questions from the commission? Sorry, Commissioner Payton.
You pointed out the non-motorized access and connectivity. It shows a 6-foot-wide sidewalk along the north side and the loop alignment study. Is there because that's part of the plan, can we require that or that it be a 6-foot-wide or be looked at with the loop study?
So at this point, the study has been completed and it was presented to the City Commission, but there is still a lot of discussion about what that ultimate alignment is going to be.
Right.
There appears to be a preference to take it much further north than through this particular property. I think putting the sidewalk in as it's proposed is the short-term solution. Whether or not we move forward with that alignment that's further to the south is pretty up in the air. Mm-hmm. So it could be significantly excess sidewalk and some other physical changes to the site that may ultimately not be necessary.
Yeah. Okay.
Commissioner Kelly.
So this question is for staff. Can you help us just sort of understand the first time we did this and we saw all the on-street parking changes, because I remember the backing in, wasn't that the backing in parking we were doing? We were backing into spaces. Right? And sort of just help us understand what we're approving when we see an institutional plan and something like that, and then it comes back and now those spaces are gone. I mean, I can understand Mr. Richardson's case a little bit here. It's like, well, I thought we were getting more on-street parking. But then it's like, oh, yeah, we took that out because it was just a concept. What's a concept and what are we approving? And I'm just trying to find out where
that is. So the institutional plan does two things. One, it becomes kind of that master plan for all of the property in the project. And then it typically gets brought forward when there's a very specific project that they're proposing, in addition, the parking lot. Most typically... had this been approved kind of this way in 2017, we would have processed this building addition as a site plan. Mm-hmm. But because it's been such a short period of time and there's really no discussion or no anticipation of that building addition, in order to be transparent and provide adequate notice to the public, it made more sense to do it this way. So what... To answer your question, with an institutional master plan or a development plan, you can be looking at one thing is just the master plan, or you can be looking at it collectively as a master plan plus a very specific improvement. It can just be either one of those or both.
Okay, so if I'm an applicant, I'm dense on this. I'm just trying to understand. So if I'm an applicant and I bring an application that has the new parking lot and lots of new parking on street, right? As the commission, we're approving that with that in mind. But then when I come in with another one, I'm taking that out. I'm just trying to figure out which thing do we know will stay and which will go.
Well, I might just interject.
Yeah, please do.
the idea of these institutional development plans is to lay out the plan that has the potential to be developed over time so that people can go to the Register of Deeds and see what they may be neighbors to. Those plans change over time, which you're used to. I think it's a fair discussion to have this discussion. It's pretty fresh and recent to say, well, we knew that we were getting the new parking lot out of that most recent plan, and we thought we were getting in the future some more parking. I think what the hospital is trying to do is say, well, we may not get that other parking in our immediate plan, and so we want to be honest about where we stand on that. But I think it's a fair question to the applicant about why are we not planning for that. That was sort of what was represented. You know, in the big picture, the hospital has been trying to balance this parking issue for several years. I think there's more work to be done with other uses that may come in surrounding the hospital, connected to medical uses. You know, they're about to break ground on the West Campus and have some East. East Lawrence was in the paper here recently, so there's a lot of moving parts to what the hospital is trying to do, but a big part of it, I think, is trying to balance this parking issue. And so I don't have the answers of why it's not on the plan right now, but I mean, I think it's a fair question to the applicant. I hope that it helps answer the question.
That certainly does. Thank you.
Commissioner Kelly, would you like to ask the applicant?
Yes, I have that question of the applicant. What happened to that parking?
Well, I know a couple of things. One of them is just time and money. I just didn't know where they're going to get that kind of money to do with what we needed to do for those parking stalls. And they didn't foresee that coming with the new campus being developed out west. And they've said it several times, but I've heard that a lot of the services here will diminish. I'm not saying they're going to be completely gone, but they will diminish, and that'll go over to the west campus. And they're playing with, I mean, they're trying, they keep moving that around, the parts and pieces. But if they do diminish that, then the use of that parking should go down. And so that was one of the things why it came up and said, let's go ahead and remove that because we just don't foresee that. And I'm not sure that city staff was completely, I'm not blaming them, but I don't think they're completely good with the parking. I just meant the engineering department, Public Works. Not planning. I mean, they had mixed feelings about the on-street parking, you know. And we're not here to fight the city about any of that kind of stuff. So that's kind of why, hey, let's just go ahead and take it off. So,
thanks.
It's kind of ground.
I have a question about the addition itself. Mm-hmm. So it's surgical support, which previously was in the basement, and they're moving it up to the first floor to be more conveniently located. And then the basement, so it's still an additional square footage. I mean, the basement space will then be used for something else. I know that parking is a very strange calculation for the hospital because of all the uses, and it's based on beds and other activities, not so much square footage. But is that something that should be factored in, that there's still more space there, that there might be some need for additional parking?
We have not identified the future use of the existing sterile processing space yet.
Mm-hmm.
I would not anticipate that be patient care because nothing else is patient care on that level. So the parking requirements for whatever goes into there wouldn't be very high.
Mm-hmm, it does. Commissioner Carpenter.
I can't quite tell from the drawings in our packet. Is this one or two floor structure?
Yeah, it's a single story.
Single story. And the foundation and footings, are they going to be put in so you can go up in the future, or is it just to support the single story?
Just for a single story for this addition.
Okay. because I don't see parking getting any better for the Pinckney neighborhood over the years, so just kind of wanted to know if this was going to grow to the height of the rest of the hospital in time or stay right where it is. All right, thank you.
Mr. Richardson, did you have another comment?
Yes, I did. When they did this before, they talked about the reverse parking on Arkansas. Mm-hmm. They didn't take into consideration reverse parking can only be done on a one-way street or a four-lane divided street. I looked it up online, and all of them that are reverse parked are that way.
Well, at this point, it seems to be off the table, but it certainly was kind of a new discussion for our community.
I know, but when we had a discussion here a year or so ago on this, you know, they said, because I thought they'd just go with straight in parking, which would be fine, which would really help the situation. But this reverse parking is something else. Thank you.
Thank you. The commissioners?
I have a question for staff. As it applies to the figure 5 and 6 about the Lawrence Loop connection, it mentions something about, let me see if I can find it, 10-foot shared-use path connection may need to cross the hospital property, Woody Park, or another alignment in the immediate area. I guess maybe just to start off with, I'm curious why that even needed to be mentioned in this report. Did this site plan affect the completion of that section of the Lawrence Loop?
It has been discussed.
Okay.
This project still reserves space for the loop to go through there if that is the ultimate alignment.
Okay. Scott, when you say it's been discussed, how can you?
Well, it's been one of the
elaborate options
through our study. And
okay.
It was discussed even in our last year's planning effort. It was actually been evolved even further since then. But we wanted to maintain it in our documenting of this property that it's a possibility.
So does staff anticipate a friction point with completing that section of the loop because of this?
Not because of this project. No.
Because of the hospital?
No, we don't anticipate a friction point. We just want to make sure that our plan reflects the possibility.
Okay.
That their plan reflects the possibility. But as Sandy noted, I mean, the current view of that loop alignment is going to go, should go north.
Okay.
And not through this.
Right, through the park. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Well, I'll offer an opinion if we're all out of questions. Where the imaging machine is coming out, and though we're losing the parking space, we're getting basically a wash with the parking we have, and that we, you know, value our community hospital and recognize that they are having a lot of moving parts as, you know, they're building the new West campus, and the hopes that will maybe also reduce some parking strain on the main campus. I'm in favor of it. I don't see any problems with the addition. The hospital is well aware of the parking difficulties that are there and have made some steps to work on that with the new parking lot we put in last year. So I'm planning to vote in favor of it, and I'll put that out there for anyone else who wants to comment.
I'm in favor of it. My concerns are the same as everyone else's with, I think maybe Commissioner Carpenter hit on something I hadn't realized. They're not gaining, doesn't seem to be gaining a whole lot of square footage for the sacrifice of planned parking spaces. I'm not entirely sure. I haven't seen all the briefings on the entirety of what's going to go out on West Campus. I know Ortho Kansas is supposed to go out there. So that's south of this site. So their activities going out west are not going to be, they're not going to impact the parking. I'm anticipating or assuming that there's going to be enough that goes, that shifts out that way, that's going to pull that traffic that way. And then something's going to go in to replace it.
Probably.
So I thank you, sir, for coming in and making comments. I don't know that there's a long-term solution to the parking problem, and the hospital's hands are tied just like everybody else's. You can't dump millions of dollars into building a parking structure when you're trying to provide care. So I'm for it. I just wish we could all figure out a way to make more parking out there, because it is kind of a pain.
So, yeah, I echo a lot of what Commissioner Sand said. The only thing I'll add is that the plan does meet code for mm-hmm. hospital parking, which mm-hmm. our right. purview is it appropriate land mm-hmm. use? That doesn't solve your parking problem. Just like the University of Kansas is not under our purview, and I think if you live south of 19 or south of 15th, you probably have some issues with people parking in your neighborhood as well, right? So it's not ideal, and we recognize that and would have loved to see some of the parking we saw in the earlier plan, which is why I brought that up. You know, I think we have to look at what that code says and what we're able to do, and that's understandable. But doesn't solve your immediate problem of finding a parking spot in front of your house after going to the grocery store. So I appreciate that.
Commissioner Struckoff.
I'm generally in favor of this. I recognize the trouble with institutional parking, especially in our city right now. I'll only add that that I would be very hesitant to approve additional parking at the site, in fact, unless there were a study done of the employees and driving to the hospital to kind of examine driver behavior and whether they can address that institutionally and reduce the number of cars driving to the hospital. I'd like to see that at University of Kansas and our school district also. And until those are addressed, we're going to have a hard time solving this parking problem. The movement of services to the west could possibly, and I hope, I imagine, probably will reduce demand and pressure on the original hospital site. But I would like to see some more creative ideas about how to address the driving problem, not the parking problem, mm-hmm. at all of our institutions. But I will support this.
We may be ready for a motion, or you have a comment?
No.
Oh. We may be ready for a motion?
I'd like to make a motion to recommend approval of a special use permit located at 325 Main Street and forward that to the City Commission with a recommendation of approval subject to the condition numbered 1.
Thank you. And do we have a second? We have 2 seconds. We'll give it to Commissioner Sinclair. Any other discussion? All in favor? Aye. And opposed? We are 9-0. And in the counting of the day, we go from item 2 to item 4 because item 3 has been deferred.
I'm so excited.
Thank you for coming in.
I'm so excited.
Good evening, Commissioners. I'm Mary Miller, one of the planning staff, and this is a text amendment to the county zoning regulations to allow 2 residential development parcels on a principal arterial to share 1,320 foot of frontage, provided they utilize a shared access. This was brought about by a variance on a certificate of survey that was before you in May. It was the Niehoff property. They had over 20 acres, which is what you need to do a certificate of survey on a principal arterial. They did not have the 1/2 mile of frontage that's required currently. They had over 1/4 mile, so they had enough for 1 division. or for one RDP. And so based on the development area pattern in the area and the fact that the county engineer was agreeable to the additional access point, we recommended approval of the variance, but we suggested that if you did approve the variance that you initiate a text amendment so we could look at the certificates of survey standards on principal materials. And so you initiated that in May, and this is a result of that. Certificates of survey are the only way you can divide land outside the city limits for residential development, and we have two types. We have cluster and we have the rural large parcel. This is an image in the urban growth area of some land developments. The green and blue are cluster certificates of survey, and the other ones, so you see a purple one, the blue, and this yellow and orange, those are platted subdivisions that were done before our subdivision regulations changed. This text amendment is not going to alter these cluster developments. They can continue the way they are. But this is a certificate of survey in the rural area. There, each residential development parcel is required to have access and to have frontage and take access from the road itself. You can have 20 acres or more, but you're limited to only two development parcels. Unless you just happen to be on a corner of two local roads, then you get one bonus parcel. But it's more restrictive outside the urban growth area. And the frontage requirements were established based on the Douglas County Access Management Standards. The Public Works Director developed these in order to restrict the number of access points on roads based on their classification and also to provide some separation between the access points to increase safety. And so the residential development parcel frontage was based on that to help implement that. And there's an area requirement for residential development parcels also based on the road classifications. So this table just shows what those requirements are. If you're on a local road, you have to have 250 feet of frontage for each residential development parcel, or RDP. A minor collector, you can have 330 feet. A major collector, if the speed limit is less than 55, you can have 500 feet minimum. If the speed limit is more than 55, you have to provide 660 feet per RDP. A minor arterial is also 660 feet, but if you're a principal arterial, it jumps up to 1,320 feet. And then the acreages stay relatively the same. On local road and minors, you can go down as far as 3 acres, provided you're using real water. Otherwise, it's 5 acres. And then when it's on a principal arterial, it's 10 acres. Since the adoption of the subregs in 2006, we've had 5 certificates of survey in the rural area that were on principal arterials. Of these, only 2 created more than 1 RDP, and it's these 2 in the center. The one in bold is the only one that had adequate frontage. They had over a half a mile of frontage, and they created 2 development parcels, each with more than 30 acres. The other one did not even have the amount of frontage necessary for 1 residential development parcel, but it was kind of a unique situation. There were 2 existing houses, and they were on parcels that were very small, and I actually think they shared an access off of one parcel, so they were trying to separate those. So the county engineer, there's a tool we have, it's an access restriction agreement, where if a person owns more land, they can restrict the access on the frontage without having to include that in the certificate of survey. So it can stay farmland or it can be developed later but add another frontage, but it restricts the access points. So this second one, even though it didn't have adequate frontage, they did maintain the access restriction. They had no more than 2 access points per half mile. But looking at the number of certificates of survey that have been done on principal arterials, and that only one was able to create 2 RDPs since the subregs were adopted, it looked as if the requirement for frontage might be extreme or unreasonable. However, we did want to maintain the access point restrictions because that would be a safety feature. And that is why the proposed revision is to allow 2 RDPs on a principal arterial with the 1,320 foot of frontage, provided they use a shared access point, so we're not increasing the number of access points per length of road. And we're still complying with the access management standards. If they're not able to utilize the same access point, they would have to come back to you for a variance. And so that is the change that's being recommended. It's a footnote to the table in section 12-318 of the zoning regulations. So that's a kind of a summary of the change. I'm happy to answer any questions if you have any.
Thank you. And as a text amendment, it has no applicant. So do we have any members of the public who would like to speak on this item? And I will bring it up to the commission for discussion. Well, I have lots of questions. So the item that we had that started this, and they were asking to divide and have two parcels, they each were having a separate access, and that was, so that wouldn't really fall under this, would it, that we're trying to go for a single access point within that quarter mile, but they had less than a quarter mile or less than half a mile?
They had less than a half a mile, more than a quarter, and right, they would still have to come to you for the variance,
okay,
if that, even if our text amendment went through.
And then, so we have the chart of what certificates of survey have happened. Do we have a feel for how many people have asked for a certificate of survey and it hasn't been allowed because of the requirement that we're now looking to change?
We haven't kept track of it, but we've had quite a few people come in and they want to divide their land that's on a principal arterial. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they have a lot of acreage. It just extends back into the section, but they don't have much frontage. Mm-hmm. And so they're not able to divide at all. And I can't give you numbers, but I know that we've had quite a few people come in and ask.
So then the main point then would be to just go back to the safety issue and say we're limiting access to only one access within a quarter mile, but we could have two or we could have unlimited, or just is two the only option?
Right, you can only have two RDPs,
okay,
no matter how many acres you have. So even if it's 100 acres, two mm-hmm. RDPs is all you can have with that frontage.
And so talk to me about the difference between a shared access and a shared driveway, because I think the shared driveway happened in the county and is no longer allowed.
Right. Shared driveways are no longer allowed unless you're doing a cluster certificate of survey, and then it's not technically called a shared driveway. It's called a cross-access easement because they do utilize what appears to be a shared drive. They all participate in the maintenance of it. There's an access easement, a maintenance agreement that they sign. So they do utilize one shared drive. Everyone takes their driveway off of that. That's why it's very similar to a subdivision. In the rural area, you can only have a shared access point, and that has to occur in the right-of-way. So once you get onto private property, you have to have your access completely on your land. That way you're each responsible for your own drive.
Thank you. Commissioner Strzokow.
I have a question for staff about that. And are those, I assume those shared access are usually on the lot line between the two RDPs, or they can, I guess they can be anywhere.
They would have to be on the lot line, or in some cases, if the topography doesn't allow them to be on the lot line, they dedicate additional right-of-way, and then the access point will come in and kind of be a frontage road until it can hit the other road. So it'll be in the right-of-way.
I recall that the 1055 property we discussed in May was, they did have a topographical challenge. They had a,
drainage
sort of
way,
big drainage way in the middle of their property. So, and would their variance still be in effect with this, and they would still continue with two access points on that?
Yes.
Okay. Have they, just out of curiosity, have they completed that yet?
They've contacted a surveyor, and they're going to be submitting it shortly.
But they would still be allowed two access points, correct?
Okay.
Commissioner Kelly?
So you said something that I was really glad that Commissioner Willie asked the question about how many people have asked and have been turned away. Do you think it sounded like your thought was that we may see more applications to divide properties with this change? Is that your anticipation? And I have a follow-up question.
Okay. I don't believe all of them had the quarter mile frontage. I think even that was more than some of them. Some of them just have 200 feet of frontage. They may have 100 acres, but only 200 feet of frontage. And so the only way they could do a certificate or survey that way would be to come with a variance. And then the county engineer would have to recommend approval. So typically we tell them if the county engineer is not okay with it, we're not okay with it. And mm-hmm. those haven't ever moved forward. So it'd have to be someone who has at least a quarter mile of frontage on the principal arterials, and those are pretty limited.
So my follow-up, thank you for that. My follow-up question is, looking into your crystal ball, do you think we'll see more rural subdivisions because we're seeing, because of this
We may see some. I don't think we'll see a dramatic increase in it, but I think it will alleviate us having to come to you with a variance for each one. I think we will see an increase, but I would not expect it to be a lot. I tried to look through, and it would be a very long project to look at the principal arterials and to see where are there large frontages. And I don't have a number. I wasn't able to do that. I don't think we can pull out a GIS frontage lengths, you know, otherwise I could have given you a table. But
those were some of my questions also. Is it possible outside of the urban growth area, if you have don't have the frontage available to do a certificate of survey, can you still do a subdivision? Or is it only within the urban growth area?
You're no longer allowed to do subdivisions unless you're in the A1 or R1 zoning that was, it had to have been zoned before 2006. So where you can do a subdivision is really, really limited. You can do the cluster certificates of survey in the urban growth area, and they just require that one frontage, like the 1,320 feet. That would be for the whole development. Your shared access would go in, and you could have an unlimited number of residential development parcels. But that's in the urban growth area.
Another question. So the quarter mile or the 1,320 feet, is that, so if you happen to have a corner property, the easements that are taken off for the roads, does that still count in your favor? Because if you take, you know, a 1 mile length of property and you divide it into, you know, four or a section where you've got 40 acre parcels, the center ones will be exactly 1,320 and the end ones will not be. Is that factored into it?
I believe that it does because the person owns to the center line of the road.
Okay.
So they do count on.
Okay. Anyone else want to turn?
I think you're the resident expert, so I'm trying to learn as much as I can off of you on this one.
That was going way off in the weeds, talking about hypotheticals with growth tiers in the future. Mm-hmm. And cluster developments, and are we going to have to revisit requirements for streets and such, like in growth tier 2, so that it will match up with city services once the city hits it. I mean, those types of things, but those are down the road questions.
Save those questions.
That's why I said they're down the road questions, but I think it just jumped into my head. How are we going to match up when we meet those areas?
So I do think as we move into our new comprehensive plan discussion that there will be quite a bit of discussion about what kind of growth we want to see in the rural areas and, you know, what our role is with that. And I kind of hate to preempt that discussion with a decision that makes a change that makes it easier to develop before we've really had a discussion about where, when, how, why, how much. So, and even when we had the item that prompted this text amendment, I had some concerns about the timing of that. And that's why I ask how many people have been turned away for this. I mean, if it's a handful, maybe it's not that big a deal. If it's a lot, it may open the floodgates for development then that we have not even had a discussion about whether we are ready for that. So on one hand, I don't want to create a hardship for people who, you know, were planning for this and have been turned away. On the other hand, you know, this has been the regulation for a while, and perhaps this isn't quite the time to change it until we've had a larger discussion. I was kind of hoping to hear from the folks at Zoning and Codes to see what their opinion was. They didn't, you know, put anything in the packet.
Right. I work with them when I was developing it. Actually, they sent Mr. Niehoff to me with a recommendation that we seek a variance, perhaps try to address this issue. And so I provided them with the text amendment and asked them to look it over and let me know if they had any concerns or any issues. And so Keith Browning, the county engineer, is happy as long as we maintain the access restriction.
Right.
And Tanya Voigt with Zoning and Codes, she accepted it and she was happy with the changes.
Mm-hmm. And I believe the Niehoff property had been in the works for quite some time. And so, I think they felt like that property needed to move forward even though we hadn't gotten the text amendment yet. That's from my discussions with them. But anyway, any other opinions on the timing or the text amendment?
I share your concerns about that. I think I think that Keith Browning's comments about, you know, maximum of two RDPs, as long as you maintain the access distances, I think that seems all right, and would probably be all right under a future, in a future discussion involving our new comp plan. But you're right, if there are people who are looking at this and saying, oh, now's the time we're going to do this, getting back to your question about how many people have been turned away, that is also a concern. I'm inclined to support this, but that is a concern. The timing, the question is, in a discussion of the comp plan, would this be suitable in any case? I yield.
So a comment to that. I think my interpretation is that Keith's response is for safety, to reduce, but it may not take into account development patterns and planning, which is our job.
I agree.
And I think that I totally respect Keith's opinion of that, but I think that's about safety. And I share Karen's concern that we're going to end up with more rural subdivisions than we have encountered, and that may be some of the unintended consequences of this. I would like to have more discussion through our comprehensive plan process before we approve. So I'm leaning towards not approving this right now, or maybe even deferring it until a later date, just because I'm concerned about that.
And I might offer, it seems like you're yearning for more information, a little more analysis, a little deeper analysis. I think it's a great discussion to have about the big question of how much division do we want in the unincorporated county, and then what a code amendment like this impact would be on that. But also, what controls growth in the unincorporated county? You can control growth with access restrictions. You can control it with the number of RDPs. You control it in a number of different ways. And so maybe we need a discussion, a little bit more information on what controls the growth, what controls the subdividing of property in the rural area. I don't know that the comp plan is going to hit this at a very deep level that you may be looking for here, but the comp plan does seek us to have the deeper discussion. It's got some policies about reviewing the current, and Mary and other county staff are doing that right now. But I mean, I think if you want a little bit of preview to that and a little bit more analysis, we use the word subdivision, but it's really more lot splits than subdivision. And so just kind of understanding the terminology can be difficult in the county land division arena. So what I recommend that we do, because I don't think we have any pending applications, or do we?
I've been working with people that want to submit applications, but I could always direct them to submit variances.
Or, I mean, I guess what I'm getting at is we try not to have a meeting in October. You saw we don't have any items, but so maybe just deciding if it's urgent enough to make a decision tonight, or taking the time to dig a little deeper, get some answers to your questions, bring something back in November, and then continue the discussion, might be fruitful.
I would be very comfortable with a deferral where we get more information. Because many of our decisions, we try and wrap our heads around, what does this mean for the future? Not just on one item, but, moving forward. And especially with the text amendment, we take that very seriously. I would think that there'd be more discussion we could have with that if we had some more information about how this piece of the puzzle fits into rural development completely.
I would agree with that, especially since what we're seeing just in the overall policies in the comp plan is we're going to be really looking at rural growth and protection of ag lands and other specialized areas out there. I'd like to know more about this and just how this might impact that overall concept that I think is going to be kind of new to how we look at how the city expands and rural growth. So I would be in favor of deferring it for so we can have a bigger discussion. Mm-hmm.
Commissioner Carter.
I have a question for staff. If we were to defer this and take it up as a separate discussion topic, would it be possible to request some sort of demand analysis? If we have a better understanding of what the drivers of these lot splits are, to understand, you know, what types of parcels are most at risk for this type of subdivision, is it proximity to major arterials? Is it, you know, what kind of it's the management of unintended consequences? Seems to be what you all have raised as concerns, and it's not just a matter of, you know, one or two parcels, but, you know, where would we expect to see this taking place? Is that a reasonable request?
I think I could try to find out where our parcels that physically could be divided, where are the 1/2 mile frontage, and where are the 1/4 mile frontage. As far as why people want to divide, we have a lot of people that are planning their estates. They want to divide the land for their kids. We have people that have inherited land, and they don't want to farm it. You know, there's a myriad of reasons why people want to divide their land, and sometimes they don't even tell us. They just want to divide it. And so I don't know if I could find out the driver between why people would want to divide. But mostly it's just to sell it or divide it between their children.
Sure.
But I think we could certainly come up with a number of what would be the ultimate, if everyone wanted to sell their land,
sure.
How many would there be if it's 1/2 mile, and how much would it be if it's 1/4 mile? I think that would be helpful.
And these are only on principal arterials. It doesn't change anything for other roads.
No.
So principal arterials being county highways and state highways, federal mm-hmm. highways?
All the highways and the county routes.
Okay, anything smaller than, I mean, is that what I'm thinking of? It's so, you know, 458 Highway, 1057, those, mm-hmm. okay.
Highway 40, Highway 59, 56.
Okay.
And then we can show you all that on the map, too. And
okay.
Just give you a better understanding of it all.
Okay. Are there any other roads under, like, the transportation plans that are anticipated to be designated as major arterials over the next 20 years?
No, but that's what that's the map that we'll start showing you.
We have the Douglas County future, mm-hmm. their map, so we'll use whether or not anybody would designate another road, I don't know. But
Mr. Struckoff.
I'm wondering if it would be helpful to know what applicants, where the applications came from, what properties that were denied or that you suggested would not receive a variance, you know, the people that have been turned down, mm-hmm. how many people have been?
Unfortunately, sometimes they're just a phone call and they'll say, I'm looking to divide my land, and I pull it up and go, well, you don't have the required frontage, and so. Yeah,
they haven't been formally denied. They learn the standards and they don't make application,
sure.
and we don't always track that.
Right.
I think there's possibly some legal and ethical issues there. If they say who's just called with an inquiry, I think it has to be a formal action before we could really get that.
And word gets out on the street as far as, you know, what it takes. Some people won't call.
It wasn't clear to me how formal the process had been.
Well, I think if we can give Mary some pretty specific instruction for what we want, I think I would be prepared to, or somebody else would like to, make a motion to defer. Maybe not till October if we're not planning to have a meeting at all. Is that fair?
I think we need time with this one too.
Okay, I suspect
do
you do.
Do the research.
Uh-huh. Well, tasked Mary with quite a bit here. I would make a motion that we defer the text amendment to the county zoning regulations for RDP frontage and width requirements till at least the November meeting, with the hopes of bringing back some information more about how this would impact future growth in the unincorporated areas.
I'll second.
Do we have any further discussion? All in favor? And opposed? All right, we are 9-0. And we have a miscellaneous item, which is that we have a possible quorum of the Planning Commission, which will be two events coming up. One would be the social at my house, and do I need to announce my address, or are we okay with that?
I think we're okay, but you might remind us of a time you want to start that.
I think we'll say 6:30.
Okay.
All right.
We'll try to get, we'll include that in our reminders out.
Okay. And also our all-day orientation training session on October 19th to be here.
Yes.
And do we have any other?
Just a reminder that October, we don't have any items for you, so we're planning on canceling that. We are canceling November and December mid-month meetings, but you will be very busy because of your orientation in October, and because we will have two meetings in November in your regular week. We are planning to have our formal first night of comprehensive plan presentation and public comment and discussion of the commission on that Monday, November 12th, and then a regular meeting of action items on that Wednesday of that week.
Okay. Anything else? We are adjourned.
Thank you.
So visitors in the back of the room.